The Dolan White Podcast is powered by the Good Deeds app. Have you done a good deed lately? Download it today. Hey, it's Dolan White, and this is the Dolan White Podcast. This is not going to be a fun episode. It's actually a little depressing when you think about it. Today's episode deals with palm oil, which is something we're all ingesting, whether we know it or not, and it's not really healthy for us. But not only that, it's also not great for the environment either, as it aids in the destruction of rainforests. And to make it even worse, the palm oil industry also comes with a ton of human rights issues. But it's a complicated issue as well, because if we were to rid ourselves of palm oil, it would screw up the economies of very small countries that rely on it as their main export. So this whole thing sounds really shitty, right? You're probably thinking that you can just limit your palm oil intake, but here's the thing. You probably can't do that. It's literally in almost everything, and to make matters worse, it can be listed by like 200 different names. My guest today is Jocelyn Zuckerman, who literally wrote the book on palm oil. Her book, Palm Planet, is available right now, and it helps raise awareness of the shittiness of the palm oil industry. So if you're still listening after that super positive intro I just gave, let's get this shit started. Welcome to the Dolan White Podcast.
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though. Right
here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else. Yeah. It's the Dolan White Podcast.
Episode 30 now of the Dolan White Podcast. My guest today, the author of Palm Planet, How Palm Oil Ended Up in Everything and Endangered the World, Jocelyn C. Zuckerman. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
I think the first question can actually be what's on the actual book here, How Palm Oil Ended Up in Everything and Endangered the World. How did palm oil end up in everything?
Well, I guess specific to the United States in the mid-2000s when the Food and Drug Administration, there had already been palm oil in our food supply, but it really surged up in the mid-2000s for two reasons. One was that the Food and Drug Administration got wise to the dangers of trans fats. So trans fats come about when you hydrogenate liquid oils to make them semi-solid. That was done by the food manufacturers basically to make cookies and crackers so that they would be shelf-stable and sort of have the right texture. Anyway, so the FDA determined that trans fats were bad for us and at first told companies that they had to put on their labels, you know, if there were trans fats, and then said we need to get rid of them altogether. So I'll back up a little bit. The oil palm tree, it's native to Central and West Africa. Most of the plant, it's grown mostly now, the industrial stuff on plantations in Southeast Asia. So it looks like a coconut palm, but underneath the sort of fronds, there are these big spiky brown bunches. And inside are these hundreds of oil palm fruits, sort of shiny reddish orange. You squeeze this orange flesh and you get palm oil. Inside there's a white kernel and you can squeeze that and get palm kernel oil. So that palm oil is 50% saturated fat. So it's very sort of viscous. It's semi-solid at room temperature. I'm coming back around to the FDA, I promise. So anyway, when the FDA said you need to get rid of trans fats, the food manufacturers said we can use palm oil. We don't need to hydrogenate it because it has that same texture. We can swap it in and it'll keep our cakes and cookies to have the right texture. And it also makes them shelf stable. So that was one reason why more imports of palm oil into this company for the food industry. The other reason was in 2007, I believe, George Bush introduced biofuels mandates. So that meant that more domestically grown soy and corn went into biofuels, and that left a vacuum in the food industry to then be filled with more palm oil.
Is palm oil generally more healthy than what we were using beforehand? Is that the reason that they decided to go to it?
Okay. It's definitely more healthy than trans fats. But as I said, it is 50% saturated fat. So that's not going to be great. As I said, it's sort of viscous stuff. But the health implication comes about, I think, mainly because what it's being used in is like junk food, right? It's processed food.
Right.
Well, you're not going to be spreading palm oil on your toast or, you know, just eating it like peanut butter, maybe. So, yeah, part of it is that it's more saturated than you probably want in your fats. I mean, we all need some fat. I think in moderation it's probably fine. But if you're consuming a lot of palm oil, it's because you're consuming a lot of this garbage food.
And I'm willing to bet it's something we have to read for. We don't know. The average person probably doesn't know if they're consuming a lot of palm oil, correct?
Exactly. And part of that is because, as I said, you've got the palm oil and the palm kernel oil. and they fractionate it, they process it in all sorts of different ways. So the palm oil, it's this bright orange, strong smelling, strong tasting stuff. They bleach it, they deodorize it, they refine it until it's basically invisible, tasteless, odorless. And that way it can be used in all these different things. But that also means that it goes by all sorts of different names. And I've got a list here, literally like 200 names it could, wow, it could show up on labels. So some of them, PKO for palm kernel oil, vitamin A palmitate, stearic acid, palmitic acid, sodium lauryl sulfate. So there's all these sort of different incarnations based on fractions of the oil and the palm kernel oil that could turn up in your products. So, you know, you see that, you see sodium lauryl sulfate, you don't know that has anything to do with palm oil.
Right. So if you're trying to avoid it, is it almost impossible? Is it kind of a lost cause? If I wanted to rid my life of palm oil, like I couldn't do it?
Yeah, I know. People have done experiments. I haven't done that myself and said, like, it's just really, really hard.
Right.
I think, as I said, if you're avoiding processed foods, you're going to go a long way. The last I saw, the cosmetics and personal care products account for about 7% of global production. That may be bigger now, I'm not sure, but that's not a ton. So I sort of feel like, all right, if it's in my toothpaste, in my shampoo, in my moisturizer, I think that's okay. But I do think we're producing way more of this stuff than the world needs, particularly because it's coming at the fate of tropical rainforest.
And that's what I wanted to get into next, the impact on the environment. But first, I got to take a quick break for the sponsor, which is, of course, the Good Deeds app. This episode of the Dolowhite Podcast brought to you by the Good Deeds app. If you're trying to help, if you're trying to become a better human being, a great place to start is on your phone by downloading the Good Deeds app. It's brought to you from former NFL great, Super Bowl champion, and subject of the film The Blind Side, Michael Orr. What the app does is super simple. It just directly connects people that want to help with people that need your help. There's no big organizations. You don't have to wonder where your money is going. None of that. All you do is download the app and get to helping people. It is just humans being good humans and helping other humans, because we all need some help sometimes. So if you know somebody that wants to help, if you know somebody in need, either way, download the Good Deeds app today. Have you done a good deed lately? Now back to the episode. Jocelyn, I wanted to ask you what the environmental impact of palm oil is. Can you get into that for a minute?
Yeah. So even more important in my book, I think it's more of a threat, you know, to the environment than anything, and also to human rights, which we can get to. So as I said, it's native to West and Central Africa and now in Southeast Asia. So those places are on the same latitude. The oil palm grows best at like 10 degrees to the north and south of the equator. So that's that tropical band around the center of the earth. But that swath is also home to the earth's tropical rainforests. And as your listeners know, I'm sure those are really important for sequestering carbon. They're also home to more than half of the plants and animals on the planet. So it's really important in terms of biodiversity. And then to make things even worse, tropical rainforests often sit on top of peatlands, which is sort of soils that are have built up this organic matter over thousands of years. They're waterlogged. It's just like massive carbon bombs. And when the palm oil companies want to plant oil palm, they have to drain that stuff first, and then they set it on fire. So it's just like sending carbon dioxide into the air at a level that's almost like impossible to get your head around. The stat I had was, the annual carbon emissions from Indonesia's peatlands rival those of the entire state of California. That's how serious it is. I mean, I talked to one guy, he's a primatologist who lives in Sumatra, and he said, am I allowed to curse on this program?
No, go, please. I prefer it.
Anyway, he said, you know, you destroy the peatlands of Sumatra and you're destroying the planet. This is not fucking around. So it's a very serious, very serious environmental issue.
I feel like, especially in America, and you travel the world much more than I do, and maybe it's a bigger deal in other parts of the world than it definitely is here, but it feels like we all race to leave our children, you know, wealth and property and all of these things, but there's no urgency to leave them a better earth, which your wealth means nothing if you're, you know, burning up and humanity is erased. Is there more of a push outside of America than there is, say, here to you know, kind of limit some of these things?
Yeah, there, for some reason, there's a lot more awareness in Europe and in Scandinavia. I mentioned the biofuels mandates here. The same thing happened in the EU, the European Union. In 2010, they had a biofuels mandate, and they were using a lot of oil palm directly for biofuels. And then they realized, okay, wait a minute, we're chopping down the tropical rainforest because we think this is like a greener kind of fuel. And then they did the math of like the carbon emissions from that are not being sequestered, and then also the peatlands, and they realized like, actually, we're totally screwing up. This makes no sense. So just like 2 years ago, they stopped that. They no longer use palm oil for biofuels. And there's also an awareness on the food front. You know, it's, I don't know if you know, it's in Nutella. Nutella, I think, is 20% palm oil.
Wow.
So that sort of blew up years ago. The French environment minister said something bad about it. And then there was a big hubbub because Nutella said, actually, we only use responsibly sourced palm oil. And she had to apologize. So there was a lot of stuff sort of in the news in Europe. And just, I guess, 2 years ago, so there's a chain of sort of high-end grocery stores called Iceland. They make like high-end frozen pastries. And their managing director is a youngish guy, maybe 35, 40. And he made a video. He traveled to Borneo, and he made this video that you see him sort of getting off the airplane and then going into the rainforest and then seeing these oil palm plantations. And he says, you know, I came here to learn about palm oil. I expected to see a little destruction, but what I saw was an environmental catastrophe. And he was so blown away by the extent of the damage. And so he came back and said, we're taking all palm oil out of our labeled products. Anything with the Iceland label, we're taking palm oil out of. And they actually did an advertisement, a TV advertisement with Greenpeace. It's really cute. You and your listeners should Google it. It's narrated by Emma Thompson, you know, the actor.
Yeah.
It features this orangutan who's in this British girl's bedroom. And she says, you know, this orangutan is like yelling about my chocolate and yelling about my shampoo. And then she finds out, oh, the reason he's so upset is because we've destroyed his rainforest home. Anyway, because they had made that with the Iceland, this food company had made it with Greenpeace, the whatever the equivalent of like the FCC in British said, you can't air it because it's a political ad. So anyway, they put it online and said, the FCC said we can't air this. And it just blew up. So it was like James Corden and lots of celebrities. And, you know, it got way more coverage probably because then it just went viral. And so everybody learned about the palm oil issue then too. And so there's definitely more awareness. I hope, you know, I hope my book will go some way to bringing it up.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you see any hope over here, at least? I know, you know, the things you mentioned in Europe are great, but do you see any hope for us here in the United States? Because it's tough.
I think, you know, as I said, awareness, and I've been doing all these interviews today, asking people, telling them. So there are some organizations I'll mention that are working on these issues, both in terms of deforestation and in terms of human rights, because there's a lot of land grabbing involved in the industry. There's also labor abuses. So they could go to the websites of like the Rainforest Action Network, Greenpeace, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch. They all have palm oil campaigns, and you can sort of get information there. You can spread stuff on social media. They probably have letters that you can send to companies, also to politicians, you know, demanding that we want more transparency in these products. We want to know where this palm oil came from. Can you prove to us that it wasn't involved in deforestation or in land grabbing or in labor abuses? So that's on the sort of consumer level. There has been some stuff happening at the government level, which I also think is really important because we need our governments, I would argue, to step up because, you know, the governments of Indonesia and Malaysia are really reliant on this product. So understandably, they're defensive about it. And they're saying, you know, who are you rich people over there to tell us to not grow this crop when this is what we depend on? So Brian Schatz, Democrat of Hawaii, announced recently that he's going to introduce legislation that ties imports of forest commodities to, you know, they have to be proven to that they're not linked to deforestation. I think there might be a human rights element of that too. So, and the other thing that happened was last year, the U.S. government banned imports of palm oil from three big Malaysian firms because we haven't talked about the horrific labor abuses, but they were traced to credible allegations of basically slave labor, forced labor, child labor, sexual abuse on plantations. I think if this problem is attacked at all these different levels with consumers, with government, with the consumer-facing companies like PepsiCo and Nestle and Unilever that use all this palm oil, you know, they need to step up too. We consumers need to say, we want to know where this garbage is coming from and show us that it was grown in a responsible way.
My last and final question, because I know you've got another one of these to do. What can the average person do to help? Like, what could I do?
I think those social media campaigns. I mean, I would guess that that's the best, because they're very organized. They know sort of the companies that they know the levers of power that they need to pull in order to get things to change on the other side of the world. And as I said, with our government stepping up and, you know, putting some muscle and some money, frankly, behind bringing about change.
I think you're doing amazing work. 4 years, I believe it took you to write this book. That's incredible. That's incredible dedication for a very, very important thing. The book is Planet Palm.
That. Dedication, slovenliness, I don't know.
You're doing good work, and so we're giving you flowers here. So, thank you for what you're doing, because I know it's an uphill battle, especially over here in the United States. So, Jocelyn Zuckerman, thank you. The book is Planet Palm. Thank you for taking the time to do this.
Really fun to talk to you. Bye-bye. Thanks.
This episode of the Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by the Good Deeds app. Now, sometimes when we make donations, we really don't know where that money is going, but that is not the case with the Good Deeds app. The Good Deeds app directly connects people that want to help with people that need help. Now, I know a lot of times when we think of the word help, we think of money, but that's not always the case. There may be an elderly person in your neighborhood that needs help moving some furniture, or a college kid that needs a ride to work. You literally never know how much your good deeds can really make a difference in someone's life. So download the Good Deeds app and start making those differences today. Have you done a good deed lately? All right. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Jocelyn C. Zuckerman. If you're interested in palm oil and what the hell we can do about it, buy her book, Palm Planet. Excellent read. Brand new episode drops Thursday morning. My guest, author, activist, musician, freestyler, everything you can imagine, super dope individual, Propaganda, will be here to talk about his new book, which is called Terraform. Make sure you tap in for Thursday's episode. It is great. Definitely want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. Make sure you're following me as well. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse, everything at DolaWhite101, DolaWhite101. And no matter what platform you are listening to this podcast from right now, make sure that you're following, make sure you're subscribed, whatever it is. Make sure you know when these new episodes drop. I try to drop on Mondays and Thursdays. It's been pretty consistent. I've been pretty good at it, but you never know. Having said that, thank you again. Follow me. Back Thursday, brand new episode. I'm out.